Lord, that's the declaration of our heart this morning. God, we need you. God, we know we need you. And I pray, God, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. God, as we hear your word, as the word is spoken to us, I pray that you would just move on our hearts, that you would speak to us, that you would tweak us where we need to be tweaked, Lord, that you would just work on our hearts. And God, above everything else, God, that you would be honored in the rest of our service today. We love you so much. Lord, we need you. We need you. We love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to know that I didn't turn on my mic until just before I came up here because those guys back there said they were going to have me sing a solo today. And I told them I could stand it longer than they could. But then Bill said, oh yeah? So I didn't turn it on until I just got up here. And after what I saw they did to poor Philip a while ago, I had new respect for you guys. Now, Lee is here this morning. He asked me to preach for him, and I saw him back there, and I said, you want me to stand down? He said, no, I want the freedom to just walk out whenever I want to. I want to see what that feels like. So he must see stuff going on I don't see, but you better watch out. We're going to look at part of the Sermon on the Mount, and in that part of the Sermon on the Mount, the part that's the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at part of the Lord's Prayer. That's the topic that we're going to look at today, and it all has to do with forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 12, in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then, this is the only part of the prayer he feels the need to go back and comment on. And these are two of the scariest verses in the Bible. He says, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, in verse 14, he says, if you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's good. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Wow. I mean, we like to gloss over that part. I mean, I do. I like to slide right by that. There's two things that this I want you to understand today that God is trying to get through to us. Two principles. And number one is that forgiveness is something you need to receive, and it is something you need to give. And number two is that God's forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. There is a cost to forgiveness. And I want you to do something with me for a minute. I want you to think of someone who has hurt you. And I'm not talking about somebody that cut you off in traffic. I'm not talking about somebody that just in some sort of little social context offended you or kind of overlooked you. I'm not talking about somebody that failed to thank you properly, didn't send me a thank you card. I'm talking about think of someone who has deeply hurt you and done injury to you and may even hate you. Now, do you have difficulty forgiving that person? What would it take for you to get to a place in your life you could forgive them? And I'm not talking they came and begged you for it. I'm talking about without them repenting, without them saying they're sorry, can you forgive them? However hard it is for you right now to imagine that, however hard it is for you to forgive them, imagine what our Heavenly Father has had to do to forgive all of us for everything we've ever done. Think about how hard it is for him to forgive all of us and for Jesus hanging on the cross to forgive these soldiers who had beaten him, who had insulted him, humiliated him, spit upon him, and then drove nails into his hands and his feet, hung him on a cross, and for him to hang in there, look at them, without them saying, "Sorry, we had to do this to you, pal," to look at them and say, "Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing." Now, I don't know about you, but I want a special category. I want God to give me a special category that I can place people in. It's okay to not forgive them. You got that list? I want some people that I don't have to forgive. But when I look back at this in verse 15, it says, "If you don't forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." The problem with that is it doesn't sound like a suggestion. It doesn't even sound like a guideline. I mean, it sounds pretty absolute. I mean, you're really supposed to do this. And if it is not an option, then I think it deserves our taking a closer look at it, because if you're like me, we've got a lot of clever ways of deciding that person's an exception. That situation's an exception. Yeah, but God wasn't talking about that. Can you imagine what they did to me? So let's take a moment to just look at what forgiveness is. In the New Testament, the word that's most commonly used is a word that means to send away. So when you forgive someone, you send away whatever offense that they gave to you. God sends away your sin. He sends away your guilt. He forgives you, and when He does so, He sends all that away. If you look at the Old Testament, it has a lot of words that describe what God has done, and basically, it describes it quite well. I mean, just lays it out there. When we confess our sins to Him, He remembers them no more. Or He puts them behind His back. Or He drowns them in the depths of the ocean. And the one that's my favorite is He removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. God's kind of forgiveness is a kind of forgiveness that removes our sin from us, and it says He remembers it no more. Now, you and I remember it, because I'll guarantee you, you've got some sin in your life that you've gone to God over and over and over again and confessed and asked for forgiveness, and you just can't believe God could forgive you, when all the time the reality is you can't forgive yourself. You're not really receiving His forgiveness. Well, God forgets. He removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. There's no room then for this. I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. I won't forget what you did, but I'll forgive you for it. That's not biblical forgiveness. In fact, that's not forgiveness anywhere you want to put it. God forgets. In fact, Jesus repeatedly asserted that a person cannot be forgiven if he or she will not forgive others. Not just in the Sermon on the Mount, not just in this case, but in all of the, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they've all got examples of it. Paul talks about it. This idea that we have to forgive each other in order to really be able to receive God's grace in our lives is a real sticky point. The distinctive element of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels is that we're to forgive our brothers and sisters. We're to forgive each other. Forgiveness of sin is conditioned not only on repentance and faith, which is where we usually like to stop it, but forgiveness is not only conditioned on repentance and faith, but it's also conditioned upon forgiveness of others. If you receive God's forgiveness and His grace, but you turn to a brother and you refuse to forgive them, it gums the works up. I don't know how you want to imagine that in your mind, but somehow or another it frustrates your ability to receive forgiveness, to truly receive forgiveness. It just stops the whole process. Forgiveness is about letting go of things and not letting them burden you any longer, not letting them suffocate your life. And God knew that. He releases us from our sins, and we're to release one another. Send away. Forget, as far as the east is from the west. And I'm wondering why Jesus couldn't just have left that part out. I want to receive forgiveness, but I want to kind of take my time and really wrestle with whether I want to forgive somebody else or not. Sometimes we say, well, I'm sorry, I'm not Jesus. And there are some people that it's impossible for me to forgive. How do you think that's going to stack up with him? There was a man, my dad was a Baptist preacher, and there was a man, a deacon, in his church up in Oklahoma, which explains several things I'm about to tell you. And this man really had a grudge against another one of the deacons in the church. And my dad said, you need to just forgive him. He says, preacher, I don't know where I came up with this or where it is in the Bible or somewhere, but I believe all of us get three people that it's okay to hate and not forgive. And that guy's one of mine. He's one of my three. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, just three, Lord. Just let me have three. I can stick it to them. Well, I also pastored in Oklahoma, and I had a lady in a church I pastored named Vera McCoy. And Vera, from the first time I met her, she looked old. I mean, she was never young, and I knew her, and she got older. She was old when I first met her, and she had had a hard life. Not the kind of hard life some of us have had. She had let me tell you her story. Vera had two sons, and her youngest son had a lot of very severe special needs. He required constant care 24 hours a day, in bed, not able to do anything. Her husband died years before I met her, and she carried that responsibility all on her own. Now, in spite of that, her other son would come over some days and take care of him while she went out to the local, we had a prison there in McAllister, Oklahoma. And she would go out there and teach literacy classes to prisoners. And she would go out there and participate in helping them have church services in a chapel they had. Just care for these people. Her son, that was not disabled in any way, had an unfortunate marriage, and it was falling apart, had fallen apart, and very estranged, and a lot of anger and difficulty. And one day, his wife, estranged wife, called him and said, meet me at my dad's house out in the country. We need to talk. And he got a friend to drive him because his car wasn't working. And his friend parked a little ways from the house and said, I don't want her to know I'm here. And so he walked up on the porch, and it was a setup, and her father shot him through the screen door and let him lay there and bleed to death on the front porch with a gun, just sitting in the house with the gun across his lap. He didn't know there was a guy in a car out there that let him out, and that guy turned around and headed for the sheriff, and they got the police out there, and they arrested the guy, and it wasn't much of a trial. I mean, there wasn't any way out of this one. Everybody, he had an eyewitness. And he went to prison. Guess where they put him? In the prison there in McAllister, Oklahoma, where Vera went and ministered to prisoners. And she began to wrestle with the fact that sooner or later, someday, I'm going to walk down one of these hallways and I'm going to encounter this man who killed my son. What am I going to do? Because she really, you can imagine the emotions that she had. What am I going to do when I see him? She prayed about it. She prayed about it. And she prayed about it. But she didn't quit going to the prison. And she told me one day, I'm walking down the hallway and there he comes, the man who shot my son and let him bleed to death on the porch. And he walked up to me with tears in his eyes, and before he could say anything, she says, I embraced him. And we wept together. We went to a big dinner up in Oklahoma City one time with her. She was being honored in some fashion. Chuck Colson Prison Fellowship was honoring her. She sat at the head table. We sat at the back of the room. She was one of the first President George Bush's 1,000 points of light. Those great stories that he called out. She was one of those people. Because she had learned God had forgiven her, and she forgave the hardest kind of forgiveness I can imagine anybody having, to forgive a person who took the life of one of your children. It was a real deal with her. Wasn't fake, wasn't show. You don't fake that kind of stuff. Quiet, humble, never putting herself forward in any way. She learned how to forgive. Now, if she can do that, I don't know what somebody's done to you, but you can forgive. It's possible. I'm not saying it's easy. Remember, it's free, but it's not cheap. It costs you something to forgive. It costs a certain amount. It costs God. Look what it costs Christ to forgive you. Hanging on a cross, bearing our sins. You forgive someone else, you're going to have to do some soul searching. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to let go of some things. And you're going to have to acknowledge your need of forgiveness. Well, I think a person can say, I think that that passage in Matthew is subject to interpretation and can't be taken literally. I mean, there's exceptions. The problem is that Jesus didn't just say it there. He said it other places, and there's nowhere it's more clearly stated than Matthew chapter 18. And I want to start reading with verse 21. I'd like for you to turn to that if you've got a Bible. It'll be on the screen. This is the occasion when Peter asked Jesus, how often should we forgive somebody? 7 times? So in verse 21 it says, Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? He thought that's pretty good. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. For this reason, and he's starting to tell him a story now, and it's the story I want you to hear. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was one brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. I'm going to tell you, that's like millions and millions, $10 million. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. And the slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before the master, saying, have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the whole debt. Now that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, a much smaller amount. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." And this fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." And he was unwilling, however, but went and threw him into prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should not you also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Verse 35, "So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." He's not talking about forgiving your brother in a technical way or in some legalistic way or just some way just for show. He says, forgive him from your heart. How much has God forgiven you that allows you to believe someday I will be in heaven despite all of my faults because my sins have been forgiven? Are we going to be the wicked slave who then goes and demands total justice and retribution from people that offend us after we've received all this forgiveness and grace from God? See, the bottom line is that God has graciously forgiven you and me a debt of sin that we could never have paid. How can we receive such grace and then refuse to forgive a brother or sister? You know how you can know that you've really accepted God's forgiveness in your life? Really accepted the fact that Christ has forgiven you? The way you can really know is that you come to a place where you finally can begin to forgive those who've sinned against you. These two are tied together. In some mysterious way, they are tied together. And I really cannot. It isn't that God's going to just be a hard case. I'm not going to forgive you unless you forgive that guy. He knows that unless you can come to the place of forgiving someone else, you really have not fully drunk in what it means that he has forgiven you. These things are tied together, and it's not easy. What I'm talking about is not just, all right, I'm going to go out and forgive everybody. It's free, but it's not cheap. It's costly, but it can be done. Let me tell you what I think is the key to going down this path towards being able to forgive others. Is you look at God, and you observe him and focus on him, and then you find the ability to begin, you find yourself being transformed. But you got to keep your eyes on him. You know what this means? When someone's offended me, if all I'm going to do is look at the offense and look at that person who hates me or meant ill for me, if all you're going to do is look at what they did, you will never be able to forgive them. You don't look at that. You look at Christ. You look at his forgiveness. You look at what he's done for you. You keep your eyes there, and that sets you free to forgive this. But if your focus is on the offense, you'll never be able to forgive. But if you look at Christ and what he's done for you and keep your focus there, you will get to the place you can forgive your enemies, where you can turn the other cheek, where you can do all the things he's talked about in the Sermon on the Mount that seem so contrary to human behavior, even forgiving people who have hurt you, offended you, persecuted you, made your life a misery. Friends, if you go out of here today and your thought is, I'm going to forgive that person, and all you find in your mind, all it's on is that what they did. I got to be able to forgive that in order to get forgiveness from God. You're never going to get there. Look at God's forgiveness for you. And let that set you free to forgive everyone who has offended you, hurt you, sinned against you. That will allow you to throw that load off your shoulders. Forgiveness not only releases us of our burden, but when we forgive others, it releases us of a further burden of hate, of ill will back. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to do what they have coming. I'm going to ask you something. When I started this sermon, I asked you, who think of somebody who has really hurt you. Who did you think of when I asked you that? Go and forgive that person. And do so by looking at Christ. Look at yourself and how he has forgiven you. And find the door to be able to forgive them. We look at him in order to be obedient and to do what he has us to do. When I say go and forgive them, I'm not naive enough to think you can just walk out of here and go do that. You might can, but probably not. Are you committed to that? Are you committed to going down that road? Then focus on what Christ has done for you, and then you will be able to forgive those who have sinned against you. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord Jesus, help us to be thankful that you have forgiven us, and help us to be obedient, to not be guilty of receiving your forgiveness and then refusing to give it to anyone else. Lord, set us free to be like you, to forgive as you have forgiven, and to learn the joy of that. Lord, it is hard for us, and we ask for your help. We ask that your Spirit would fill us and that you would cause us to be transformed into people who can forgive as we have been forgiven. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Ushers, come forward.